I'm Véronique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and a Mic podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Welcome back, everyone, to part two of our episode. I hope you are ready to continue our conversation about Atlantis, because there's so much more to unpack. Whether you are tuning in for the first time or coming back for more, I guarantee you'll find something fascinating in this episode.
Do you offer any retreats in Canada or US, or it's all the way?
I have one June 6th to the 9th in British Columbia. It's on Vancouver Island. It's called Lemuria Awakening with one of my soul sisters who was my student. It's our second year running it. Vancouver Island, for those unfamiliar, is an oasis. It's a rainforest. It has ancient cedars. It has the wild Pacific Ocean. It has old massive rocks. It's not a paradise destination in terms of you go on the beach. It's like hiking and exploring and grounding. So that's the 6th to the 9th. We're actually about 70% sold out. It's open to women and men. I do my best to always include men because I think there's a lot of things that are only women, and I get it. But we have separate accommodations, you know, for this. So I have one man coming. I would love more men to come. Hold that divine masculine. I also, every second year, which I held one last fall, every second year I have a retreat in the Rocky Mountains of Alberta in British Columbia. And there is a chakra system that runs through there. So we go to 7 different locations and we do dips in 6 of them, which is in glacier fed water. It's very cold, but they align to the chakras and we do incredible work. I relate it to Atlantis. It's called Atlantean Water Codes, and it's a small retreat. I keep it between 6 to 8 people max. And I had 5 this last time. I can honestly say all 5 are going through massive transformations in the best of way. Like about every 2 weeks, I'll have one of them message me. This is what I'm feeling like, Priscilla. I can't believe it. My life has been doing this. I'm like, it's because we shed a lot of things. We did on the equinox, the fall equinox. So those are my 2 kind of more Canadian ones. And then the thing is, my soul likes Atlantis so much. The only other one I have coming up closer is in Mexico, Honduras, Belize, and Guatemala. I want to do it's called Journey Through Aztlan, because that part is very connected to Atlantis. So I just want to go through the ancient temples and pyramids. And I just like ancient stuff, you know? I'm like, where's the ancient stuff? Because I know we've all been there. I know we have signatures there. Let's go reconnect. Let's see what our soul wants to help us do. So I did my first retreat in Egypt in November. Egypt is so powerful. I understand I'll never take a lot of people at one time there. I'm not that kind of teacher. It has to be 6 to 10 people. But the one I have in Greece and Turkey is also open to women and men. I just started registrations. It's 2 weeks of going through these ancient sites. I like to include downtime. I use a company that I really trust, so it's a private tour. But it's great hotels, amazing bus service. You have a local specialist. You have me, who's kind of sometimes saying that's not really what happened. That's what the history book would say. But now I'm going to tell you, this is what our souls are saying. And like I said, Greece is my favorite country in the world. So I can't. It's to me, it's my most precious home that remains on Earth. Atlantis would be number one, but Atlantis is not here. But all of its babies are. You know, so Greece is a very beautiful daughter of Atlantis.
So this is how you pick your the locations? Yes, to be ancient and maybe reminds you of Atlantis a little bit?
I just open my heart and I ask my soul, where do I need to go? Where do I need to go for myself? Where do I need to go to help others? And so like my soul is very ambitious. I have like a list of about 15 places, but I said I'm also a mother, you know? So internationally, I think I can travel twice without them. And you know, they're very independent. I've been traveling since they were little. As a dance teacher, I traveled all over the world training and taking students. So they're used to that, and it's good. But also, I'm as we know, I'm their mom. I want to be with them. So until they are old enough to want to come with me, because they want to come right now, but I'm like, okay, but we're going to be meditating. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be in work mode. They're like, okay, not if you're going to be in work mode, mommy. I'm like, okay. But like, we'll go to Greece with you anytime. I'm like, okay. So it's wonderful. But I know like there's so many places that are connected to the ancient past. And I think if you just take your shoes off and you walk on those lands, even if you don't, even if you're not with somebody like me that has this ancient teacher within them, you still get what you need. And it's so magical, right? The first time I went to Greece in 2005, that means I was 8 years from my awakening. I sat in this ancient theater that's right down from the Parthenon. And as I was watching a performance, I was watching the National Hungarian Ballet. And I looked over my shoulder, it was a full moon and the Parthenon was lit up. And I felt this energy go up my back. And when I came back to look at the ballet, I said, I've been here so many times before. Like I could literally feel thousands of people watching different shows with me, you know, on the same marble, or maybe it's not marble, but it's like these beautiful steps, like stone benches. And I could feel the love, and I knew the Parthenon was there, you know, and I was like, this is crazy. I'm having the biggest deja vu. But I had believed in reincarnation my whole life, even though I was taught not to. But it started sparking me, you know. So the first time I went to Greece, I loved it, but I didn't know why I loved it to the extent that I do now. And so this will be my fourth time going. And there's no secrets. Like, I'm going to be like, what's up, Apollo? Here's my students. Come give them a divine light activation, or, you know, Asclepius. Asclepius is the god of medicine, the ancient god of medicine. And I didn't know him very well. I went to his temple and he literally showed me incredible ways to heal that I then learned as a Reiki master, the exact same thing. But that was handed down through different teachers. But here I was in 2017 and Asclepius showed me those things. So it's real. Do you know what I mean? It's real and it's tangible. And Athena telling me back in England in 2016, you're going to go to Greece and your life is about to change. You know, I was clueless. I was like, okay, sure, bring it, you know? And it's not an easy path to get where I am, but it is totally worthwhile, you know?
Yeah. As this little fascination with Turkey, I've been there twice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most beautiful country with that they kept all the ancient, you know,
yes,
city ruins. They have like, I remember going there, they had this full arena and library that was still up from, I don't know, for how many.
It's Ephesus, I think you're thinking of.
Yes. Ephesus. Yes.
Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've been to Pamukkale.
No, it's on my tour though.
Oh my God. So I don't know if you can still really go there, because I remember that there were so many tourists there, they were afraid that they're going to be, that everything right. is going to get damaged. But it was a real experience. It was really, really a good experience to just be able to go in there and swim
right.
in like columns and ruin, you know, in the water. That was surreal. It's really surreal when you go there. It's really surreal.
I think we're not allowed to swim in it. I think we get to visit it, and then our hotel. Yeah. has a spa that has the same waters from it. That's my understanding. Okay. Because I was like, oh, I need to take people there. And like, yeah, you can't swim in it. I'm like, what? I thought, I see so many pictures of people swimming in there, but.
I think that was before 2000. Yeah. I went there in the 90s and everybody was, we could swim in there. But I think after a while, they were like, maybe it's too much. They want to keep it intact. And
I get it. It's just the same. You can't, you know, in Egypt, you can't touch everything because they say the oil from your hands wrecks it. I don't know if it's true, but I get it, because if people keep doing like, what if we all rub the same spot? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Egypt is probably the biggest tourist location in the world. So they're getting how many millions of people? If everyone does that, it's not going to be there, that, you know? So that's one of the things I loved about Greece the first time I went. You weren't allowed to take anything or touch anything. And I actually respected it. And then I went to Italy in that same trip and I was at the Colosseum and you could do anything you wanted. And I was like, this is weird. Like, why can I do anything I want? I should actually not be able, because kids were running all over and bumping into stuff. And there was, you know, this is, to me, this is like, it's not just Rome's history. It's the world's history. It belongs to the world. Like, the pyramids don't belong to Egypt. They belong to the world. So it's all of us. Egypt is just the care holder, you know, mm-hmm. or the caregiver. But I respect it. But yeah, Turkey, for those that don't know, because I think Turkey gets a bad reputation, but Turkey's Greek ruins are better preserved than the Greeks.
Than Greece. Yeah. And I told that to Sylvia once. Remember, Sylvia told you if you want to see real ruins, you mm-hmm. have to go to Turkey. You're mm-hmm. going to be more amazed than in Greece. They conserve it better.
Well,
and I was
really
surprised.
Yeah, on my tour, if you know the Greek pantheon, there's 12 of them. We're going to 10 spots between Greece and Turkey to their temples. So I can't wait. I cannot wait because I've only been to Istanbul and then Ephesus in, I always say it wrong. I think it's Ephesus, but those two places are amazing. But to get to see more of it, I know we're going to Troy, and Troy is also an Atlantean colony. It's very, very Atlantean, like that whole story of Troy and the Iliad.
Yeah,
that's the story of Atlantis, one of them. So, dang, it's going to be amazing.
I'm going to have to buy a book about Atlantis. I don't know all the details. Mm. So you talk about past lives. So I wanted to ask you, do you believe that everyone can remember their past lives? If they really work on it, meditate?
I think some people's programming is too strong to allow them to enter that field.
I think I'm one of
them. I grew up thinking about past lives because I always, when I would watch something about Egypt, Rome or Greece, I would tell my mom I was from there. And she's like, no, you're not. You only live in this body. I'm like, no, I'm definitely from there. So I think like there's people like my parents that don't want to open up to it, and you can't make them. But for those of us that are curious, there's so many in where we live now, post really 2012, there's so many modalities and spiritual teachers and healers. I mean, there are unfortunately scam artists, but there's also really beautiful people and souls that are helping. I think if you once you open it up, it's just so fascinating. But we can't live in the past. We can only take the lessons and the growth and the experience and then apply them to now. So, you know, with people in Atlantis, I say we can't go back to that. It's not about that, but it is like what happened there, what happened in a good or negative way, how does it apply to our life, and what are we going to do about it? So for me, I had a really wonderful role there, and I held space for tens of thousands of people, and I loved them, and I wanted everyone to be happy and free and prosperous and healthy. And that's my duty now. And so that part of me that's ancient, she told me last year when I was in Mexico that my mission would be completed when everybody on Earth was healed from the fall of Atlantis. And I said, whoa. So that's you want me to do that in this lifetime? She's like, no, you've been doing it the whole time. You've been doing it for the last 12,000 years. I said, okay, because that's like a tall order, but I'm also not going to let myself be bogged down by it because I can't force Atlantis down people's throats, right? Some people are very anti-Atlantean. So I can just be my authentic self. And when I was in Egypt, I don't shy away from the way I dress. I think I'm very moderate today. A lot of times I wear a lot of headpieces if I'm going to be talking about Atlantis. But in Egypt, I didn't shy away. I wore all my headpieces. And I've never taken pictures with so many strangers across the world. People would constantly ask me, where are you from? I say, I'm from Atlantis. What? And most times they're like, Atlantica? I didn't know people think Atlantis is called Atlantica. Like, there's lots of different names for it. So I'm like, yeah, Atlantica. And they said, does everyone look like you there? I'm like, well, I go, I don't know, but this is what we like. We like our crystals, right? We like beautiful clothing. We like to dress how we feel. And I did some healings on random strangers at the Sphinx, on the Nile, in airports. But I took pictures with so many people, and I thought either they love me and they love what I represent, or they're making fun of me. Because there were some teenagers that I felt like were definitely making fun of me. But either way, when they look at that picture, they're going to see the love, and they're going to see somebody that's not afraid to be their authentic self. So very interesting in Egypt. They couldn't say my name. Priscilla was really difficult for them to say. So by day two or day three, I was like, "Do you have a nickname?" I'm like, "Yes, it's Atlanta." So Queen Atlanta is my deeper soul's name. And they would be like, "Queen Atlanta?" I said, "Yeah. Can I call you that?" I'm like, "Of course." So, you know, I was on a Nile cruise for a week, and the whole staff, "Good morning, Queen. Good morning, Queen Atlanta. What would you like to drink today?" Like, I was just in my heyday, you know, and take pictures with kids, and some kids would be so shy, but they're just fascinated, and they want to touch your jewels. And I thought I was awakening my students that came with me, because it was Atlantean awakening in Egypt. I thought that's what it was, but it wasn't true. I was awakening the Egyptologists, the people, the service people, the people at the pyramids, at the temples, strangers from all around the world, because people are too scared sometimes to say exactly what they embody. And that's probably the greatest compliment I got on that trip, when we were, because I had some tension areas. Not everybody wants an Atlantean queen around, especially not in Egypt. And I had this woman that really, I would say on a past life level, she really hated me, because she hated me in that moment. And she wanted me to back down. She was like, "This is at a temple of Isis, which is a temple of a divine mother, you know?" And she's like, "Where are you from?" And she was a security guard there. And I said, "I'm from Atlantis." And she's like, "What? Where is that, in America?" And I said, "You forgot?
Atlantic City?"
Yeah.
City, yeah.
I said, "You forgot?" And her eyes went really big. She's like, "You're telling me you're from the ocean?" I go, "I'm from the ocean." And she got mad, like mad. And she went on her walkie-talkie, and she just started calling more guards. And my guide had told me that if I get into any trouble, just to say I was American, because they would have a little bit more respect. But I was like, "No, man, I'm from Atlantis." And so anyways, I went and found my guide, and he put a stop to that, to that intimidation. But my students said, "Priscilla, they're like, even if it looks like you're about to get punished and persecuted, like, you still embodied who you are." And I said, "Yeah, this is a lifetime I don't get punished." My guides have told me that since the very first month of my awakening. I think because we all have a lot of trauma, especially as women, of different kinds of abuse on this planet, which a lot of our sisters are still going through it. And they want you to stay quiet. They don't want you to be intuitive. They don't want you to recognize that you know what's best for your children. They want you to listen to everything that the government says. And if you can stand strong, you know, in one area, then you can do it in other areas. So my time for punishment on this planet is over. I'm free, and I'm here to awaken people in the best of ways. We don't, you know, not everyone has to be an Atlantean. It's not about being an Atlantean. But I'm going to tell you the good things about Atlanteans is that when we're in alignment with God, we love everybody. We have a thirst for knowledge like nobody else. We strive for perfection, knowing we'll never achieve it, but we love the journey of it. And we will never be satisfied with how something is. It can always be more beautiful, be more in service, be more in tune with Gaia. And that's what I love about Atlanteans themselves. And I identify them very easily, because they're also very hard on themselves, you know?
So when you say Gaia, can you explain to people who don't know who that is?
Well, Gaia is the name of the goddess that we live upon. So Mother Earth, her name is Gaia. If people don't know that, it's a real energy. It's not, we don't just live on some surface of some rock. Gaia is an ascended master through billions, or perhaps even longer, of years that she's trained to become a realm that would house 8 to 9 billion people. Think about how much she loves unconditionally to allow us to dig into her, right? To chop down from her, to build upon her. And she does so like a true mother would. She loves us so deeply. So Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Gaia, whatever we want to call her. I like Gaia. It feels very alive to me when I say that. But we're growing with her. And what's said in the communities, that the spiritual communities, that we're coming to a new earth. Gaia has been patiently holding space for us for 4.5 billion years. She's been at this level. And she's ready to graduate. She's ready to come to a place where there's not so many wars on her, and all of her children are fed, and all of her women are safe. you know, so
beautiful.
That's what's happening. We're going through, when people say our world is so much worse, it's about the same as it was when Atlantis sunk. It's a very harsh place. But now we see, I think it's one of the reasons they chose me to be their mom in this lifetime, because it gave them a lot of strength, you know, to make decisions. We had to decide at that time, are they going to dance? If you dance, you have to wear a mask. We're not doing that. We will pause. We will pause our training.
Breathing.
Until we can be free, you know? And I give them the decisions, even with the homeschooling. I don't say you have to do it for the rest of your life. Every year, every June when dance season's over, we evaluate. Where are you at? What do you love? What do you want to let go of? What can I do to help you hone in more? One of my oldest daughter wants to be an actress. She's a triple threat right now. She wants to be in musicals. She had her first solo singing. The last 2 weeks she's been singing on stage by herself while she's dancing. It's a huge step for her. My youngest wants to be a professional dancer right now. And as their mother, I will do everything in my power to help them get the training to do that. And then they also have to contribute, right? It can't be me pushing and pulling them. So that's something about a relationship I like, because they know. So I had signed up my daughter for some kind of audition, and she was asking me about it. And then she's like, no, mom, she said, that's not what I don't want to do that kind of project. I want to do this and this summer. Oh, great. Okay. Never mind. I'll cancel that. You know, like, because I said I can go all the way because I have the dance background. What do you want to do? Oh, I can take you. I can put you in everything I can afford. I will put you in. But then they're the ones that are like, we'll pump the brakes. We want to rest. We want to be outside in the summer. Oh, right. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. We want to be kids a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, you actually answered my question. I was going to ask you, you know, I saw that that phrase you put on your website, she's dedicated to helping the collective prepare to birth new. So that's what you just said about the Gaia, okay.
Yeah.
And the new earth. And okay, that's what you meant.
Yeah, the new earth is what we're all creating now. And it's, you know, as we watch the wars and these terrible things happening to children all over our planet, I think anyone that's a mother, it's not right. And I think by like teaching our children more compassion and more understanding, where we help make the new earth, because, you know, when my parents were being raised, there was different prejudices, right? So I'm part of my background is I'm Indigenous from both Canada and American tribes, but it's forgotten and it's been bleached out and erased. So I can't really have connection to my family in that way. And there was a deep discrimination against Natives in Canada for a very long time, and they're still left over from that. But with my children, I'm trying to show them the higher version, and I think that's what we're doing. So I really believe we're all creating new earth. And when we get there, when we recognize that we've made some progress, we're going to want more, right? When we say no to genocides, no to starvation, no to women being mutilated and all these things. When we stand up collectively, we start making that wave, and then it changes, and then more people are inspired, right? More people stand up. It just takes one person to start making that change. And that's what I say about myself. I won't back down, right? Whatever my beliefs are, it's both a positive and a negative, because people be like, oh God, here goes Priscilla. You know, if it's something... chemtrails, you know, I'm very aware of chemtrails in my area. So I don't stay quiet, but I'm also at a point where I'm not going to shove it down your throat. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you what my truth is, and I'm not going to make apologies for it, but I will no longer knock on your door and tell you why you should be concerned about it, right? You come knock on my door and ask me the question, and I'll be happy to talk about it.
Yeah, that's the right attitude, I think, you know. Be authentic, be yourself. I don't like being just pretend, everybody assuming you're going to behave a certain way because of of a certain color, of a certain nationality. Like, why are you assuming? You don't know me. So I don't think I'm thinking the same way you are just because of all these stereotypes, you know? And so I'm just like, a lot of people get shocked by not being me, not falling into the whole what they call matrix, or like just following to that little box.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm like outside the box. You're going to be shocked. And I don't care. Before I was worried too about what to say, but now I'm like, whatever, it is what it is, you know? And I think you're actually running out of time. It was so nice talking to you, Priscilla. Yeah. By the way, do you have any Portuguese background or no? With your
Not that I know of. Campos, my husband, is Salvadorian.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay, because I'm Brazilian. Campos is very popular last name there.
really, very popular name. I like it.
My old last name
is Charbonneau, which is French. And it took so long to spell. So,
what's your name? Is it French Canadian?
Yeah, French Canadian, Charbonneau.
Charbonneau?
Oh, Charbonneau. Yeah, so, Priscilla Charbonneau was like, to get, you know, government forms, licenses, everything to spell it. People always, it was so long. And Campos is CAMPOS. Done. You know? So
I know we're out of time, but I really wanted to know. I'm sorry. What is a prosperity code?
What is a prosperity code?
If you can just tell us, like,
of course,
in 2 minutes.
A prosperity code is what exists within all of us because God wants us to be abundant, right? We are all naturally abundant. It's just different people and factors try to show us that we're poor and that we're lack. So when you unlock a prosperity code within yourself, it's like we all have these codes within that store different information. And once you unlock it, you begin to understand that you had everything you needed all along, and it's with your Holy Spirit. And then that's the way to abundance. I started thinking we don't manifest abundance. We don't manifest prosperity. We are abundance, right? Our hair, our skin cells, our life force, our breath, we are abundance. So once you start to come in alignment with that, then the universe will show you why you're abundant, right? Oh yeah, you're abundant. Great. Here's $100. Here's $5,000. Here's this. You know, it's an alignment. So there's lots of codes within us. That's one. And it just takes you knowing your soul to get to unlock them.
Yeah. Something I like to hear. Sometimes I'm aligned, sometimes I'm not. So, but when it happens, it's fabulous.
Agreed.
Can you manifest money like this? Oh, anything else, you know, a job, love, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
we all deserve it. We deserve good life on this planet. That's what we're here for.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. A lot of people need to hear that and be happy for others that are abundant and are like actually, instead of, because if you're jealous, you know, you're never going to get to that level when you just, there is that almost like that guilt of like, why is this person doing well? Or, oh, I shouldn't be doing well. I was talking to Veronique about that. You just should be happy with other people who are doing well. And the more abundant people around you, the better it is. You know, you just spread prosperity all over. So let's be happy.
It's the same field, right? Their abundance is your abundance. You just have to tune into it, right? If they can do it, we can do it.
Should be inspired.
There's nobody that's more special on the planet. I don't care what your title is. We all have the same gifts. It's just people haven't unlocked them yet. They haven't realized how powerful they are.
Yeah.
Well, there was a great interview. Thank you, Priscilla.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, we're going to put all the information in the show notes, your website, your Instagram, and when people can connect with you. If they want to go on a retreat in Greece or Turkey. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies. Blessings.
Bye, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening today. May your journey towards spiritual fulfillment never end. Until next time, keep learning, growing, and exploring. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest.